WBAR stands for West Berkshire Action of Refugees. I will give you a little bit of background. We have the privilege of having begun in 2015, registered charity with policies, code of conduct, safe recruitments, ID badges, which are important for hotels, and we've had a good track record with West Berkshire Council of welcoming Syrians since 2016. West Berkshire Council asked us to support the 40 Afghan families who arrived in two hotels September 2021, which is a real privilege. We've given lists of names, ages, because this morning in our club, the ladies didn't know how to write their names, so it was good to have a record. We now run, so we began by providing school backpacks with stationery and toys for all the 130 children in hotels, and now run English language sessions focusing on the mothers with preschoolers. We're a community organisation partnering with Care for Calais and the Refugee Support Group, Nick Carbourne, in Reading. Our asylum seeker hotel in West Berkshire opened the main one January 2022, only a year. It was a very slow start. The legal agreement with Clear Springs and the Home Office was signed, giving us access to premises in the hotel. Care for Calais was already a trusted lead agency, and we benefited from that partnership. Newly recruited volunteers were absolutely thrilled when we saw 120 residents receive sets of clothes and toiletries on that first evening at the end of February. Can I have first slide? We now have a function suite of 5 rooms for our resources. So this is the thank you. We do put things on our Facebook page because it's really good to just thank all of our donors. And this is just part of one of the big games rooms we've got with table tennis and everything donated by Town Council. The Rotary Club, the second slide, organised a donation drive. And here are our wonderful friends from church, actually. John and Chris, the lead on that one. And our friends carried everything upstairs, up 2 flights of stairs, at the lift. It was amazing to hear the residents' laughter at our Christmas party. Now, volunteering groups of residents are engaged in charity shops, community furniture projects, and clearing the canal towpath, in slide 3, painting the lock gates. They even featured an 10-minute item on South Today, which is wonderful, positive press. They're contributing to the town. They've set up their own VIAN, which means clean, enterprise, and we gave them the vests to go with it, the gilets to go with it. They delight in clearing sackfuls of litter from the area, and the mayor presented them with certificates for their efforts, which was yet another positive publicity opportunity. It does take time for the asylum seekers to decompress after their grueling journey, to overcome suspicions when somebody might ask your name or your age, develop trust. And we began to realise that we needed to teach that saying yes was not polite if you didn't mean to turn up. It does indicate commitment to time and place, one of our challenges. We have taught the meaning of time regularly, but it doesn't seem to go in. We gave up keeping a track record of sports kit and the set of bikes we provided, as the residents just didn't understand the concept of signing out shared resources. They all exist. We now have a locked room upstairs as one of our 5 rooms to lock the textbooks away and the clothing resources. We signpost local events, mosques and church services in our faction tree display. The mosque provided prayer mats and some evening meals during Ramadan. We've seen the community churches, Rotary Club and Town Council work together, which has been absolutely amazing. We used the well for wrapping all our Christmas presents. We had a team of 23 to wrap the 400 Christmas gifts, which went named to every person. I've got some comments now from Thatcham Baptist Church, who have been absolutely wonderful partners with us. We couldn't do it without all this partnership. So they comment, it's been an absolute joy and privilege to walk alongside people in hotels, but also very challenging at times. Whenever I hear someone's story, I feel humbled, sometimes in awe of their faith, other times angry with the system we put them in. always grateful to God for allowing me to share a little part of this story. We began by welcoming one person who found our church to now fellowship with about 25 people from the hotel most Sundays. People are on the coffee rota, helping with chairs, welcoming on the door, reading the Bible in church. And we now have weekly Bible study and supper. People from different countries cook each week. And we're doing discipleship, alpha, small group Bible study in various languages. They've had a lot of Iranians particularly being baptized. It's a privilege to see Christians who've had to flee their own country because of conversion, knowing they're free to invite newcomers at the hotel to church. We're part of a team and we really benefit from partnership with Welcome Churches and West Barks Acts of Refugees. We had to work with our safeguarding team. One of the things which are needed is looking after ourselves and maintaining a balance with all the other activities at church and all the other people. The lack of cultural awareness and language barrier has meant we've needed lots of conversations and Google Translate in order to get a real sense of what their experience of Christ is and how to encourage their faith. The enrichment of being with other people in hotels is not just numerical growth, it's socially, as we're introduced to different languages, food and culture. Spiritually, we hear their stories and are inspired by their faith. We often say that we used to read about the persecuted church in magazines, and now it has walked through our door. Now, the other main church in Thatcham that share the work with the refugees is only 20 minutes walk from the hotel. And they say, the well at Glendale, we had met some asylum seekers from Eritrea and Ethiopia. We now provide a space on Friday afternoons where residents get out of the hotel and come for tea, coffee and English conversation. It's a drop-in. We never know who to expect, which makes planning sessions interesting. It's evolved from an informal session with table tennis and pool table into a social time followed by a fun language lesson, which feels more satisfying for everyone. The team of volunteers from the church love meeting the people that come along and love being involved. And again, they've seen people baptised in their church. So thank you for sharing in what's going on in a very small area of Thatcham, West Berkshire.
Joyce, thank you so much. And moving from the developed work and the wonderful structured way in which WBAR have been working, we are newbies on the block and have very little in place in comparison. So I'll just give you another example. So I think if I'm honest, we kind of teeter on the brink of being overwhelmed and drained by the paucity of our response in the face of such need. We know the need for settlement assistance, for sanctuary, for welcome, for looking at the ethics of welcoming, meals and personal friendship, defence of human rights, political action and much besides. And the wave of willing to do more as the latest WhatsApp message or email pops in asking for help with this or suggesting that we might do that is literally overwhelming. A five-stage overview of what we did very briefly. Firstly, we looked at the immediate response of need, clothing people with what they stood in and making sure they had warm coats and jumpers, led by St. Bartholomew's Ducklington, by Cogs Church, ourselves and many others within the local community. And it was overwhelming to see that response. We then secondly took up advocacy to ensure that asylum seekers were registered with local GPs, working closely with the practice managers, GPs and the hotel to set up groups of volunteers to go in and register each hotel resident with one of the GPs. We then worked on ensuring that all primary school children were admitted to schools, getting schools to come together and work at a solution for that, which we repeated with secondary school age children and then college students. And then we got a group together to ensure that we then were purchasing the school uniforms required. Fourthly, we are networking, having survived the first 2 to 3 months, and working with Oxford Refugee Health Initiative has been outstanding and a game changer for us, as well as our friends in Asylum Welcome and Help for Calais. We work closely as churches with St. Bartholomew's Ducklington, in whose parish the hotel actually is, and others, to look at our response to try to make sure we're not duplicating and we're making sure if people are going to more than one person for the same issue. We're looking to Welcome Churches, Asylum Foundation and other partners with huge experience to draw on, which we're mightily relieved about. We've got three language classes up and running currently and more to come. And we're working closely with our Muslim brothers and sisters, putting them in touch with other faith reps across the town. And inspired by WBR, we're now looking to develop our work with volunteers to enable residents to volunteer within the local community, to keep them active, to win hearts and minds, and to resource further volunteering. So if I was speaking to someone embarking on this, what would I say? Well, firstly, we did draw on our experience from Churches Together, working with Syrian refugees, Afghan refugees and Ukrainian refugees. So we had some experience, but boy, is it a steep learning curve. We've had a Persian feast with wild laughter and some serious dance moves, and we plan to have another feast evening in the next few weeks to thank some of those who've been involved from the wider community in the support of the asylum seekers. I think I would urge people to beware of what you can and can't offer, and to draw in as many people as you possibly can to take responsibility as soon as possible. So those are my brief reflections, and I now hand over to Hannah Ling.
Thank you so much, Toby and Joyce. Just as a quick introduction, I am Hannah, and I'm the Social Justice Advisor at the Diocese of Oxford. And what my role looks like is supporting churches, particularly Church of England churches across Thames Valley, with their work to address poverty and inequality. Thank you so much for the questions that are popping in already. That's really great. I was going to ask Toby and Joyce, what were some joys from being involved? But I think we've heard so many of them amongst what they've already said, and in really difficult situations, it's incredible to hear the beauty that can come from that. So I'm going to ask the questions that are in the chat. Joyce and Toby, if you're willing to answer those, do let me know. Maybe raise a little hand, or I might direct them directly at you. Well, sure, that's fine, because later in this webinar, we'll be hearing from different people and they might be able to answer those questions as well. So one of the first questions is from Joyce Farnsworth, and she says that she's finding it difficult to find contacts with local charities to partner with them, or even local churches. How can you find this in your particular area? Joyce or Toby? Joyce, would you like to go?
I think we're privileged in West Berkshire. There's a volunteer bureau. And in fact, middle of January, they ran a fair where we were invited to put a stall out. And also one of our team went round looking at all the other stalls, connecting, networking. So food bank are giving us some refreshments for our language clubs, Canal and Riverside Trust, and so many charity shops are using our volunteers. So, yeah, there should be something out there.
Just coming on that, yeah. So I would say it's worth being in touch with Churches Together. So there will be a Churches Together organisation nearby, and they could put something out to local churches to see if there are churches who would be willing to partner you with that. You've probably tried local councillors, mayors, that kind of thing. Be in touch through those networks and any volunteer groups which exist currently, to see whether it's kind of there and happening. My experience here is that generally people don't really know what's going on. And if you actually get out there and ask them and make the links, then we've found that's really overwhelmingly positive. And I think if there are particular things that you're stuck with, then do be in touch with one of us, and we'll see if we've got contacts wherever you are, and can try and point you in some directions which may bear fruit, because partnerships are absolutely vital.
Absolutely. And something that's really exciting about this webinar is that it's not just Church of England people on this call. It's people from all different churches, and CACAO works across the board with those churches. And so, yeah, we're just really excited that we can bring people cross-denominationally, if I've said that right, ecumenically, because we know that there is power in working together, not just in our kind of own bubbles. And so one of the things that CACAO are working on is to do localised meetings with people who are really interested in working with asylum hotels in those areas and kind of key partners. So that's kind of brewing. I'm sure you'll hear the information about those as they come about. more questions from the chat. It's great to see someone has answered the question about Bible teaching resources in English and Farsi. Thank you so much, Fiona, for giving that email address. So if anyone hasn't seen that, Fiona at Greyfriars, they have an ambassador for Farsi Ministries. And so they've put the email address in there for you to contact if you would find that useful. This is a good question from Sarah. Great to hear the joys, but what about some of the challenges or problems that you've encountered, Joyce and Toby? Toby, would you like
to... Okay, first Joyce. We could spend the rest of the evening on this one, I think, probably. Boy, have we learnt a lot. I think for me, it's the overwhelming nature of it. It's coming up against hard and fast lines and rules, which people find very painful. It's trying to respond to the outpouring of trauma, which most of these people have experienced in a very direct and horrific way. It's trying to make sure that we don't get completely wrung out and exhausted by that. And we'll look a little bit later this evening about some self-care within this, because it is a highly demanding ministry in terms of responding to people's basic and continuing needs there. So I think it's the complexity of it and that there's not a simple solution to this. And a number of people are sold the tale that they'll come to the promised land and it will be paved with gold, and within a few weeks' time they'll be given their own house and everything will all be fine. The sheer weight of dealing with what they've experienced previously and realizing that they're far from reaching the promised land is a really tough place for people. Those would be my first reflections on that, Joyce.
I think it's when you've made a relationship with a group and they've begun through the language clubs that you run to help them network with each other rather than just walking from their rooms down to pick up the takeaway and back to their rooms with no communal space. Now we've got the communal space, you build that community, the volunteers become very connected with the people, and then you hear, okay, last week three were sent to Napier Barracks. In December, whenever it was the Rwanda flight was heading out, the night before, there was a dozen of them were given them marching orders and taken to Napier Barracks. And you know that it's not necessarily a really good positive move for them. They've sent photos on WhatsApp to their friends and it just destroys anything which has already begun. So that's one of the sad ones.
Absolutely. Thank you for answering that. Another question from Liz Hamilton. How do you determine boundaries? Now, that's a really good question as well. And she's referred to welcoming people into the church. So not only wanting them to help, but also wanting them to help individuals who are in the church, for example, gardening, cleaning. And she's put about how living in the hotel, people are bored, but how do you manage those boundaries when it comes to welcoming people and asking them to join in with the things going on at church? Toby, you've unmuted, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a complex one. So I ministered in Peckham previously and I had a delightful colleague there who came from Korea. And I had him back in my house many, many, many times, and we ate together and laughed together and had a fabulous time. At one point, I had come back from taking the Sunday morning service. I was cooking the Sunday lunch and had the main course pretty much under control, was about to make the pudding, realised that I needed some more eggs. So asked him if he could just step across the road to where the corner shop was and buy me some eggs. And I thought I was inviting him to be a member of my family and to be a part of what I was doing, was feeding him as I had done many, many times. And for him, that was a boundary violation and I was treating him as a slave and he never forgave me from that. So it's something I'm very cautious about. I always say to people, if they would like to help, they're very welcome to help, but please don't do it if it would make them feel uncomfortable or they don't feel this is something that they want to do. I think I would say we've gone very slowly with it, but we're also far earlier in the process than Joyce is experienced, and she will probably have far greater wisdom on that. As an early response, going slowly, speaking with them and making sure that they are comfortable about what it is that they're being invited to share in. I always have a principle myself that I wouldn't ever ask anyone to do anything I wouldn't be prepared to do myself. And so being prepared to model that as well. And so that it isn't a case that kind of the menial jobs get done by our asylum seekers, which would just be horrendous if we got into that situation. And trying to show that they are equal co-workers, I think is a really important principle. In terms of, formularized boundaries, at the moment, I would say we're not at that stage of having those completely there. But as I say, Joyce may well have greater wisdom from further experience.
I think I come from a position of not trusting people. They don't understand our culture. We don't understand their culture. So we would never leave one volunteer on their own with the group. Certainly never one-to-one. And none of us would have anyone in our houses, but then we're not a church, we're a community, and the fact is we've been given these rooms. I think the opportunities for volunteering are laid out. Some of these groups have adverts, like the charity shops and things like that. They are learning skills there. They're developing their language. Most of them are very keen to volunteer, to apply, and obviously we check the safeguarding and DBS in place there. So brilliant. I suppose most of those opportunities are either they've initiated themselves, and yes, it does seem as if it's the clearing up after street parties that they've chosen to do, but they want to give something back to the community, and the payback of them being feeling positive, there's something for their CV, to apply for something, even if it's an unpaid job, and they get a bit of food. They sometimes get a few handouts. They love it, but they have chosen to do those things.
Thank you. I feel like there's so much more we could talk about boundaries because it is a really complex issue, but I appreciate both of you unraveling that a little bit to start with. There's a few more questions in the chat. We're going to move on for now, and a couple of them will be answered later, so don't worry if yours hasn't been answered.